again, we'd like to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Book of Matthew, chapter 27. We'll read verses 45 through 50. We looked this morning at Jesus in Golgotha. For me, tonight we want to look at something that transpired as part of the crucifixion there in Golgotha. Begin reading with verse 45 through verse 50. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias or Elijah." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Again, what we read here is part of what Jesus experienced at Golgotha. It is important to remember that Jesus is in this place called Golgotha for us, in the place of us, and in the stead of us. That we must never, ever lose sight of. Why he is there, for whom he is there. We see from verse 45 that what we read here took place from the sixth hour until the ninth hour. That is, from noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Mark tells us in Mark chapter 15 and 25, "And it was in the third hour that they crucified him." That is, at about 9 a.m., Jesus was nailed to the cross. From 9 a.m. until noon, the sixth hour, Jesus spoke three times from the cross. He uttered a word of forgiveness. In praying for those who were crucifying him, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Secondly, he spoke a word of salvation to the dying thief. Remember the dying thief, he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Jesus responded, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Thirdly, he spoke a word of compassion. He said unto his mother, "Mary, woman, behold thy son," speaking of John. Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." From 9 a.m. till noon, Jesus spoke those three sayings. Then after 3 hours upon the cross, 9 a.m. till noon, something amazing happened. Something unheard of happened. Something very startling, something very remarkable took place. Something out of the ordinary happened. Something very mysterious happened. And we read it there in verse 45. From the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Now, I believe this is the central verse in the story or in the account of the cross. This is central. During those 3 hours of darkness, there was not a word from the cross until the very end, at about 3 p.m., out of the darkness, comes a word of anguish addressed to God the Father. My God, my God, it says he cried with a loud voice. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now much has been written concerning this darkness. And I do not believe that our minds can fully comprehend the full significance of those words of Jesus. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't believe that we will ever fully fathom or get to the bottom of what is happening in these verses. I believe there's only the only ones who really know what took place here was Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son. No one else fully knows. No one, I don't believe, will ever know. What is recorded here is very mysterious. It cannot be fully examined. It certainly cannot be fully known or grasped. And it certainly cannot be fully explained. This 3 hours of darkness and what Jesus said at the end of that darkness. I want to speak this evening on Jesus in the darkness for me. Again, as we preach this message, we remind you that upon that cross, there is one in a place of unparalleled suffering. No one has been more despised. No one has been more rejected than the one upon that cross. No one has been more hated than the one who was upon that center cross. No one has been more mocked, more ridiculed, more taunted than that one. The one upon that cross, again, his head is embedded with the crown of thorns. Large Roman spikes have been driven through his hands and his feet. By the time we get to our text, his bones are out of socket. His back has been pulverized by scourging. And again, there is the spittle of vile and wicked men upon him. I also remind you that the one upon that cross is innocent. He is innocent. He is sinless. He is without any fault. He has no flaws. He has no defects. No blemishes. He is holy. He is spotless. He is pure. He lived never doing wrong. Never had a wrong thought. Never committed a wrong deed. He is absolutely perfect. He is God. He is God in a human body of flesh. And I remind you that he is upon that cross voluntarily. He is there because he wants to be. No one, as we said this morning, ever went to Golgotha because they wanted to be there. Most were dragged to Golgotha. Jesus was led as a lamb to the slaughter. I remind you that the one upon that cross is there for others. He's there in the place of others. He's there in the stead of others. He is there in the place of those who have transgressed and have broken the laws of God. He is there for those who are covered with the filthiness of sin, for those filled with the corruption of sin. He is there for those who have rebelled against God. He is there for those who are unacceptable to God and for the hell deserving. He is innocent, and He is there for the guilty. But in this message, we want to go to the time between the sixth and the ninth hour, between noon and 3 o'clock. And we want to consider the darkness, and we want to consider the cry that came from that darkness, and then what it all means to you and I. First of all, consider the darkness. Consider the appearance of darkness. As you go to Golgotha on this day, there are three crosses. Upon two of them are thieves who had been found guilty of their crimes. Upon that central cross is Jesus. There's also quite a gathering of people. The Roman soldiers are there. The chief priests are there. The scribes are there. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the authorities are there. The common people are there. And it's really a rowdy crowd, a very boisterous crowd. And they cheer, and they laugh, and they place wagers on how long the men that are being crucified will last. And as all of this is going on, after 3 hours, at the brightest part of the day, suddenly there's an unexpected and unexplainable darkness that fell over the earth like a thick blanket. It is noon. The sun is directly overhead, and the sun disappears. It is a darkness that smothered the sun at high noon. We read in Luke chapter 23 and verse 45, "And the sun was darkened." It's not that the sun was not out that day. It's not that it was a cloudy day. The sun was darkened by this darkness. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us of this sudden change, a very strange change, a very mysterious change, a darkness that fell upon the earth. So what we read here in verse 45, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour." This is not to be passed over lightly, as though it were merely incidental. This is something to be noted, because nowhere in history has this happened except here. This is something to be noted. Notice the extent of the darkness. We read again in verse 45, "There was darkness over all the land." We read in Luke 23 and verse 44, "There was darkness over all the earth." This is a worldwide darkness. This is not just a darkness that appeared over Golgotha. This is a worldwide darkness. And it is stated very plainly that it was from the sixth hour until the ninth hour. 3 hours of unexpected darkness. Noon, the darkness falls upon the earth. 1 o'clock, it's still dark. 1:30, it's still dark. 2 o'clock, it's still dark. 2:45, it's still dark. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour. 3 hours. 3 hours. The three most mysterious hours that ever were. 3 hours of darkness. Consider the nature of this darkness. Many have tried to explain it away by saying it was an eclipse. Some have tried to explain it away by saying it was a cloud cover. But there was a darkness over all the land. Luke again tells us there was a darkness over all the earth. This darkness was extensive. This darkness was penetrating. It penetrated all light. This darkness was supernatural. You cannot explain it. It is a very mysterious darkness. It is an unexpected darkness. It is unexplainable darkness. Again, it was a supernatural darkness. This was a darkness, I believe, without any hint of light. A deep and thick darkness that enveloped everything. A darkness that could be felt. It was a terrifying darkness. It was horrifying. It was a very dreadful darkness. I believe it was an excruciating darkness. A chilling darkness. Something eerie was going on as far as the people were concerned. We read in Genesis 15 and verse 12 of the horror of great darkness. And I believe there was a horror concerning this darkness. I believe if you listened in, you might hear some people saying, I'm scared. And I imagine they were. Someone might be someone who had some knowledge of the Scripture might have said, this is what the prophet Amos wrote up. Amos chapter 8, in verse 9, we read, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. That was fulfilled here in Matthew 27, verse 45. How dark was it? Well, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the S-U-N, Son of Righteousness. And the light of the world and the Son of Righteousness was upon that cross. Yet from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, it was dark. That's how dark it was. There was no light to be found. No light anywhere. In the whole history of creation, there has never been 3 hours like this. Never. There have been some extraordinary hours throughout history. But there has never been 3 hours like this. 3 hours of absolute darkness. And I believe that darkness is full of meaning. Again, we cannot understand, we cannot fully grasp, and we certainly do not know everything that it means. But everything that that darkness represents, Jesus came victoriously through. That we know. That we know. Jesus was in that darkness for me. He was there in my place. He was there in my stead. And though we do not know everything that he experienced in that darkness, nor do we pretend to know, I know this, that everything he experienced in that darkness was for me. Was in my place and in my stead. I don't have to know everything that he experienced in that darkness. I just take great comfort in knowing that he victoriously came through it, and he did so for me. And I trust that. All of us that are saved trust that. Not only was there this mysterious and unexplainable darkness that overcame everything. We said in the first 3 hours, Jesus spoke 3 times from that cross. But for 3 hours, no light anywhere. And there is absolute silence from the cross. Not one word, except at the very end. When he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Never in the history of the world has there been such a darkness. So what does this mean? We know that there was darkness from noon till 3 o'clock. I believe that's literal. But what might this darkness be? What might it be? Well, we can get some idea by seeing what darkness represents throughout the Word of God. I believe that this was the darkness of hell. The darkness of evil. Matthew 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke of outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I believe that this darkness that enveloped everything for 3 hours was that outer darkness of hell. We read of such in Jude verse 13. We read of the blackness of darkness. The blackness of darkness. We read in Colossians 1, verse 13, the power of darkness. In 2 Peter 2, and verse 4, of the chains of darkness. Demonic forces are referred to as the rulers of darkness. Ephesians 6, and verse 12. From the 6th to the 9th hour, Jesus Christ experienced for me the very darkness of hell. I believe that. For me, the powers of hell were unleashed against Christ. Luke mentions something that the other gospel writers do not mention. When Jesus was in Gethsemane, remember the Garden of Gethsemane, and they came to arrest him, Jesus said in Luke 22 and 53, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." This is your hour and the power of darkness. What's he referring to? He's referring to evil. Again, from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And during that time, Satan with his demons in all their fury, in all their hatred, in all their malice, unleashed their powers against Christ. And the wonderful news is they could not overcome Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was there for me. And he was there in my place and in my stead. And for me and in my place and in my stead, he overcame the powers of hell. For me. Now we don't know, we don't understand everything that transpired in that darkness. We certainly cannot understand the unleashing of the demonic forces of hell. The degree of such at this time. Darkness also illustrates heavy affliction. During that 3 hours of darkness, Christ endured unimaginable distress. You think of the trials of Christ and when they beat him with a reed, and they smote him on the face, and they spit upon him, and they mocked, and they ridiculed, and they embedded his head with a crown of thorns. And many times when people talk about the sufferings of Christ, they get stuck there. That alone will not redeem a single soul. There was a suffering that no one else could suffer. That no one could possibly suffer. The pain, the distress was unimaginable. The pain was unimaginable. And I'm not talking about the crown of thorns now, and we don't mean to take away from that. But I'm talking about what was going on in the darkness. The trouble. The misery. The adversity and the sorrow and the anguish and the torment were unimaginable. We read in Isaiah 53 and verse 4 that Jesus Christ hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And we cannot possibly fathom the depths of Christ's agony and his suffering. It is called there in Isaiah 53 and verse 11 the travail of his soul. The travail of his soul. Have you ever been in travail of soul? We all have. We that are saved. There have been times where we've been in travail of soul. But you can't even begin to imagine the travail of soul that Christ experienced during that 3 hours of darkness. I believe that Christ was in travail of soul in Gethsemane. I believe he was in travail of soul during the trials on the way to Golgotha. But I believe the travail of soul reached its peak during those 3 hours of darkness. Darkness also illustrates God's displeasure in judgment. During those 3 hours of darkness, Christ endured the judgment of God. We read in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. In Isaiah 53 and 12, he bare the sin of many. And in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. None of that is figurative. It's all real. God the Father, as we said this morning, in one act, gathered together as one huge, filthy load, all the sins of his people. And he placed them upon Jesus Christ. We are sinners. But all of my sins, and I mean every single one of them, because it only takes one sin to make you deserving of hell. Every single one of them was taken off of me and transferred to Christ. And this is why he's at Golgotha. As a result of these sins being transferred to Christ, he would bear the guilt of my sin. He would be charged with the debt of my sin before God. God would charge him with the debt of my sin. And therefore, he became accountable for my sins. And being accountable, he bore the effects of my sins. So there he is with those sins upon him. And it was, I believe, during those 3 hours of darkness, we read in Isaiah 53 and 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Yes, he suffered at the hands of men, but that would not redeem you and I. Yes, he suffered at the hands of demonic forces, but that would not be enough to redeem you and I. It pleased the Father, or it pleased the Lord, to bruise him and put him to grief. It pleased the Lord to do that for me, in my place and in my stead. And though we cannot fathom the depths of the judgment of God that came upon Jesus Christ during those 3 hours of darkness, we do get a glimpse. And that's all we can get, is a glimpse, because we couldn't stand it. We get a glimpse of what was involved in that darkness by the cry that proceeded from Christ's lips. For 3 hours, not a word from that central cross. And then about 3 o'clock, out of the darkness comes a loud and piercing cry. We read in about the 9th hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is a cry that reveals that during those 3 hours of darkness, there was an estrangement between the Father and the Son. During those 3 hours of darkness, why hast thou forsaken me? That's abandonment. During those 3 hours of darkness, there was an abandonment of the Son. Jesus Christ was deserted. Keep in mind, he's innocent. Keep in mind, he's there with my sins. He's there with your sins in our place. Jesus Christ had been forsaken by the fickle crowd. He had been forsaken by the religious hierarchy of his day. He had been forsaken by his disciples. They all fled. But all of that was nothing compared to what he experienced during that 3 hours of darkness. Consider that the one who hung upon that central cross has from all eternity been the object of the Father's love. Consider that during his 33 years on earth, that Jesus enjoyed unbroken communion with the Father. Never has he been out of fellowship with God. Never has he been out of communion with God. Not a second. Never a moment spent out of the Father's presence. But during those 3 hours of darkness, God turned his back on his Son. During those 3 hours of darkness, God forsook his Son. During those 3 hours of darkness, communication with heaven was interrupted. You and I can't imagine. I mean, we know what it's like to have communication interrupted with heaven. We all know what that's like. We all experienced it. But we're not God. We've never had the fellowship that Christ had with God. The depths of this is unimaginable. There was alienation. An alienation so that the crushing weight of my sin could be borne by Christ alone. That it could be borne by him alone. Jesus Christ, there he is. Without the presence of the Father, without the comfort, without the peace, and without fellowship with God. He's alone. Never. Has there been one more alone than Jesus Christ during that 3 hours? He is alone. You and I are never alone. Never. Never have been. No one has ever been more alone than Jesus during those 3 hours. 3 hours of darkness. 3 hours of silence from Jesus Christ. And then came that cry of abandonment. Then came that cry of loneliness. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is not a cry against God. This is a cry to God. Jesus never uttered a word against God. And oh, that someone would even suggest that this is a cry against God is sheer blasphemy. It is a cry to God. It is a cry to God, Jesus Christ, paying the penalty of my sins. Jesus Christ was forsaken by God. We'll never understand the depths. So what does all of this mean to you and I? Christ took the desertion in our place. He is, during this time, the God-forsaken one. The great white throne judgment. Jesus will say, "Depart from me,
I'll never hear those words. Never. Every single one of us deserve to hear those words. Depart from me. But I will never hear those words, because Jesus was deserted for me in my place. Again, God laid all my sins upon His Son, Jesus Christ. And the just penalty of my sin and the just penalty of your sin is death, is separation from God. Not just physical death, but eternal death. Eternal separation from God. Our sins demand that we be forsaken of God. And that is why when Jesus Christ is found with our sins, He is forsaken by God during this 3 hours of darkness. He endured the darkness. He endured the darkness. He endured, and He came through the darkness victorious, so that I would be delivered from the darkness. He endured the darkness so that I would have light. We read in Colossians 1 and verse 13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the light of, into the kingdom of His dear Son." 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, we read that we have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. We read in Acts 26 and verse 18 that Jesus Christ came to open blind eyes, to turn them from the darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. God the Father forsook His Son. Why? Because my sins were upon Him. And Jesus was there in my place. And I will never experience the darkness of abandonment. That is why Hebrews 13 and verse 5, it is because of what took place at Golgotha that we can say with the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 13 and 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." We know it's so because He was left and forsaken for us. So what I read here in Matthew 27, 45 was all for me. And I'm placing all of my trust in that. I'm placing all of my trust in what Jesus has done. You can place your trust in baptism if you want to, but I'll place mine in Jesus Christ. You can place your trust in a church. You can place your trust in your so-called good works. But I place my trust tonight in Jesus Christ. I am still held deserving, and I will always be held deserving. And the day I take my last breath, I'll still be held deserving. But I'll never spend a moment, not one second, in hell. Because Jesus Christ went to Golgotha. He not only went to Golgotha, He came through Golgotha. He went to the grave and He arose again, and He did it all for me. So I ask you tonight, can you trust Him with your soul? Can you think of anything better to trust your soul with than Jesus Christ? Everyone here, from the youngest to the oldest, has a soul. It's asked in Job 14, I believe it's verse 14, somewhere around there. If a man die, will he live again? The answer to that question is yes and no. Yes, he will live again. No, he will not live this life again. But you will spend eternity. Everyone here will spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. And we all deserve hell. But Jesus Christ went to Golgotha for me. And during that time, he endured a mysterious and thick darkness for me. During that time, he was forsaken by God. It was excruciating. Darkness. You know, and no matter how long you spend in hell, you'll never pay for a single sin. Not one. There have been souls in hell right now for thousands of years, and they still have not paid for one single sin. Only Jesus could pay for sin. Only God. Who are you trusting in tonight? If you know by faith, and you can see by faith Jesus in Golgotha for you, follow Him. Follow Him. He was forsaken by God for me. The very least I can do is to forsake all for Him. And I have never once forsaken all for Christ. It will not happen in my life. But He forsook all for me. My point is, I should be willing. You should be willing. Forsake all for Jesus Christ. And that's what He calls us to do. To be willing to forsake all for Him. I find great sadness in Golgotha, seeing what sin deserves. But I also find great joy. And all we can say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hope that when my time comes to leave this life, that I have my mind where I can say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And even when it comes time to leave this life, if I don't have my mind, I know the very moment my soul leaves this body, that's what I'll be saying. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus for me. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse of song.